Once Srila Prabhupada went into trance, just singing Jai Radha Madhava, he was completely in another plane. He was in the trance, he was always in the transcendental plane, but he was completely absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And he said, everything is there. Everything is there in this song, in this bhajan. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Whole Vrindavan, Krishna, Radha, Gopis, Yashoda, Yamuna, everything is there. And he went into trance. So, the purpose of singing this Jai Radha Madhava is to put us in the right frame of mind to hear the holy scriptures. Why do we sing this song? It's very important. So, just to remind ourselves of why we do things. In Krishna consciousness, we must keep checking in to see, do I know why I'm doing this? Otherwise, we will be on autopilot and we will just be doing, but we will not get absorbed. So in Krishna consciousness, we must get absorbed in Krishna and not just be, you know, rushing around, you know, or doing many, many things in a big rush, but forgetting Krishna. Srila Prabhupada doesn't want that. So, being absorbed in Krishna means remembering Krishna, remembering His beautiful form, that beautiful boy whose color is the bluish-black color of rain clouds, wearing a golden yellow silk dhoti with a peacock feather in his hair and playing the transcendental flute. That's our Krishna. And that bluish black beautiful boy of Vrindavan has now come as the golden avatar, Lord Chaitanya. And that same loving pastimes with Radha, he's performing in the form of Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. So when we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are actually in the Ras Leela of Krishna. It's important to remember and absorb ourselves more and more and more in Krishna. And try to get out of Maya. So on that note, let's begin. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaivam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nashta Prayeshva Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So thank you all very much for rising early in the morning and coming for the morning program. This is a very, very important foundation for our bhakti. So, we are on the 8th canto, chapter 15, entitled Bali Maharaj Conquers the Heavenly Planets. And we are on verse 32, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Okay. Verse number 32, please repeat. Evam sumantritarthaste. Guru Narthanu Darshina Hitvatri Vishtapam Jagmur Girvana Kamarupinaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki. Shukadev Goswami continued, the demigods, thus being advised by Brihaspati for their benefit, immediately accepted his words, assuming forms according to their desire. They left the heavenly kingdom and scattered without being observed by the demons. Purport. The word Kama Rupinaha indicates that the demigods, the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, can assume any form they desire. Thus, it was not at all difficult for them to remain incognito before the eyes of the demons. So, just to give you the context about what is going on over here, Bali Maharaj, a very, very powerful demon, has come to attack Indrapuri, the king of the demigods. King Indra is shocked to see how powerful Bali Maharaj has become. So what does he do? He goes running to his spiritual master, Brihaspati, and asks, what is to be done? This demon is so powerful. So Brihaspati says, you can't do a thing. He's too powerful. Only the Supreme Lord can defeat him. The best thing you can do now is to take to your heels and hide somewhere incognito, meaning unrecognizable. What's the meaning of incognito? Means unrecognizable. That means you are in disguise. In case of the demigods, they can change their forms, disappear from the sight of everyone. They have that power. Demigods are very powerful. And they have so many powers that we cannot even imagine. Huh? So, if you want siddhis, mahima, lagima, anima, all these things, you can practice mystic yoga and you can get siddhis. You can become very powerful. You know, from thin air, gold ring, shk, ash, then silver and sacred paraphernalia, suddenly, you know, you can manifest. And the whole audience will be like this. How did that happen? But this is really a material power. A material power. Because even though you may have mystic powers, you have to die. You have to grow old. You have to get diseases. So that's not a very laudable goal to aim for. That is why we are repeatedly told bhakti yoga is the highest. Now on this point of changing forms, it's very interesting that how one can change the form at will. There's a story in the Mahabharata. Would you like to hear? There was once a very beautiful princess. Her name was Damayanti. She was the daughter of the king of Vidarbha, And her beauty was so famous that princes from all over wanted to come and marry her and win her hand. Now word of her beauty spread to the heavenly planets too. And guess who wanted her? Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Surya. I don't know, several demigods. Now, I'm trying to remember this from childhood, so I don't remember the other. There were three demigods who said, we want Damayanti. Now, in olden days, princesses were allowed to choose their prince. The king would announce, my daughter is ready for marriage. And there would be a big arena in which all the people who were vying for her hand would be invited. And there would be a sutradhar or someone to glorify each prince in turn. And the princess would be having a garland of flowers in her hand. And as she was hearing the glories of each prince, she would decide, does she want to put the garland on him or not? If she didn't, move to the next prince. It was called Swayamvar. Swayamvar means of one's own choice, you're choosing to marry. So the princesses had this privilege. They could choose whom they wanted to marry. And so, it's very interesting that the beauty of Damayanti came to be known by a prince called Nala. Prince Nala was also very handsome and very qualified prince. And by the arrangement of providence, a swan came to him and told him about the beauty of Damayanti. So Prince Nala was very impressed. And he said, okay, you have told me about her. Now you go and tell her about me. So the swan went and told Princess Damayanti about Nala. How handsome he was. How qualified he was. And he was an expert at horses. He could really ride the horses at the speed of wind. He was also a very good cook. So this prince had many good qualities. And so the swan went and told the princess. So hearing about his glories, Princess Damayanti decided she is going to give her heart to him and no one else. So in the Swayamvar, she made up her mind that even if any number of princes come, she will wait till the glorification of Prince Nala happens and then she will garland him. Now Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Surya all came to know about this plan of Damayanti. They wanted to marry her. They didn't want a little human prince to get the princess Damayanti. No way! We are going to get her. I'm going to get her. So what did they do? Each one of them became Nala. Identical. And now, in this assembly, there's not one Nala, but four Nalas there. Indra changed his form to look like Nala. I don't remember, honestly, to tell you the truth, maybe it was Surya and Chandra. Three other demigods decided to become just like Nala, and they are all sitting there. And now Princess Damayanti doesn't know who is her Nala, the human prince, because she knows the demigods are trying to trick her and she doesn't want to marry them. She wants to marry the human prince. What to do now? So she starts praying. And then in her heart, it is revealed to her, these are three demigods. They are not your Prince Nala. And you will know because their eyes will not blink. Only Prince Nala, because he's human, his eyes will blink. So finally she understood who was her Prince Nala, and unerringly without a mistake, she garlanded Prince Nala. So this is the power the demigods have. They can change their form at will. You know what Hanuman did when he went to Lanka? Would you like to hear this story? There was a Rakshasi called Lankini who was guarding the borders of Lanka. So Hanuman had taken a giant size, right, to jump over the ocean. He reduced himself to the size of a small cat. Meow! 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 Who pays attention to a small cat, you know, roaming here and there? So he thought he could slip in. But Lankini was very clever. She knew, because she's a Rakshasi, she can change her form at will too. And so she immediately said, "Who are you?" And then Hanuman, of course, had to reveal who he was and defeated her. And then Lankini said, "Now I know the prophecy is going to come true, because the prophecy was, when someone comes and defeats me, Lankini, the guardian of the border of Lanka, that will be the day the Rakshasa demon, Ravan, will be destroyed." So Hanuman could change his form too, at will. In fact, when Ram and Lakshman came wandering through the Rishyamukha forest, Sugriva was very frightened because he was running for his life. He thought, "Who are these people? Have they come to kill me? Has my rival Vali sent them to kill me?" So he said, "Hanuman." He said, "Hanuman, go and investigate." So Hanuman turned himself into an old Brahmana. And he came over there and very humbly, "Oh, who are you? You seem like two very brave warriors. But who are you?" And very nicely he spoke. And of course Ram knew everything. But he answered very politely. And there were nice exchanges. And ultimately Hanuman revealed his real form. So like this, the demigods can change their form at will. But I am asking you, my dear spirit souls, what is the use of having this siddhi? Because ultimately, even the demigods have to die. And then again take birth in this material world. Even though the demigods have a very long lifespan compared to us, 6 months of our earth days is equal to one day in the heavenly planets. But even they have to die and come back here again. So why should we waste our time getting into a demigod body? Why not get our eternal spiritual body back and be permanently with Krishna in the spiritual world? Yes, ultimately, our eternal spiritual body is waiting for us, which is full of knowledge, full of bliss, and is eternal and never dies. Jai, Sri Panchatattva Bhagwan ki jai. And Krishna, being so merciful, has come down in the form of Lord Chaitanya to give us the highest of the high. Which is what? Come back to him in the spiritual world. Get your eternal spiritual form back and lovingly serve Krishna forever and forever and forever. And time doesn't exist in the spiritual world. Time is conspicuous by its absence. That's Krishna's world. It is the present forever. And Lord Chaitanya has come to give us that beautiful, eternal spiritual world. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Simply chant the holy names of Krishna. Revive your dormant, loving relationship with Krishna. engage in loving service to Krishna. Think of Krishna. Love Krishna. Serve Krishna. Go back to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna all the way. Right? So Lord Chaitanya is teaching us by his example how to become a devotee and go back to Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey! Lord Chaitanya raised his hands and he sang. You want to sing with me? Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Ram Raghav, Ram Raghav, Ram Raghav, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahi Mam. Ram Raghav, Ram Raghav, Ram Raghav, Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahi Mam. So remember Krishna. And it's so easy to remember Krishna when we chant the holy names with attention, with devotion, with surrender, with the genuine calling out to Krishna, Krishna, help me, save me, rescue me from this ocean of nescience that I've fallen into. And simply remembering Krishna by chanting his names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, will reconnect us to Krishna. It's not a foreign thing. This is your soul's cry to Krishna. This is your soul's connection to Krishna. The soul is chanting Hare Krishna all the time. 24 hours a day. So Srila Prabhupada said, by chanting this Hare Krishna, you will get more chanting. When a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you get from this chanting? Prabhupada answered, more chanting. Because, huh? Because when you chant Hare Krishna, you fall in love with Krishna. And when you fall in love with Krishna, you take his name more. So once, one early first generation disciple, he was very curious about Srila Prabhupada. It was obvious that Srila Prabhupada is a highly empowered Vaishnava. And Srila Prabhupada was always saying, chant, 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 chant to everybody. So this young man came to Srila Prabhupada and he asked him, saying, Srila Prabhupada, are you chanting all the time? Srila Prabhupada was doing his writing and all. He took off his glasses, he put down his pen, and he said, come here. He called him, come here. He said, come here. Saying, put your ear to my back. So the devotee went, and he put his ear on Srila Prabhupada's back. And he could hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In his heart, Srila Prabhupada was constantly chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He put his ear to Srila Prabhupada's back, as Srila Prabhupada wanted, and he could hear Srila Prabhupada's heart. In his heart, Prabhupada was constantly chanting Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is pure devotee. He's come from the entourage of Lord Krishna. And he's come to teach us how to get back to Krishna by chanting the holy names. So this is the importance of the Maha Mantra. It will give our eternal spiritual form back. It will take us back to the spiritual world where there is no more birth, no more death, no more diseases, and we will see Krishna face to face. And this is not anything new. All of us were in the spiritual world at one time. Believe it or not. You, Slajana, and Andrea, and Janava Mataji, and Bhakta Vatsal Prabhu, and Dayal Chandra, and Ranka, and Lalita Govinda, and Narsimha Seva, and Sandeep, and Urush, and Urugai, and me, all of us were in the spiritual world with Krishna. We have lost our way. We have fallen from grace. And here we are, scrambling to get back. And how do we get back? Chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the way to go back to Krishna. And it's so easy. So let's not waste time here. Many, many lifetimes have gone in this material world. Taking birth, we have got another form, right? Another form, another form. We have done this many, many times. Let's get back our eternal spiritual form and go back to Krishna. This is so simple, so sweet, and so sublime. And so easy. But we must follow it nicely. We must follow the instructions of our greatest well-wisher, the spiritual master. Just like these demigods. Just see, the demigods being thus advised by Brihaspati for their benefit, immediately accepted his words. So there's a way to get back. What is that? Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So Krishna sends his pure representative to this material world to save us and to bring us back to him. So we must follow the process nicely and make our life successful by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Bol. So it's the eve of Christmas. Tomorrow, I believe, is Christmas Day, right? Today is the eve of Christmas. So would you like to hear a Krishnaized Christmas carol? Anyone in the mood? You like to hear? Ready? But you have to sing with me. Oh no. Oh yes. All right, ready. Chiming kartal, chiming kartal, chiming all the way. Kartal, chiming kartal, chiming all the way. We are on our way back home, chanting all the way. Chanting all the way, many lifetimes ago. We thought we'd take some rides into Maya's world, and now we are paying the price. But here we are chanting, purifying our hearts, praying to go home to Godhead, chanting all the way. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hari Bol. So Lord Chaitanya has come to take us all back home, back to Krishna. This is a beautiful time. This is the golden age. Let's not miss this chance. Let's go back to Krishna and not waste time in this material world. You want to hear another Krishna's Christmas carol? Yes? Okay. We'll talk about Lord Chaitanya's golden age. This beautiful time, this holy time, all is calm, all is bright. Lord Chaitanya is calling us nigh. Lord Chaitanya is calling us nigh. Wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Bol! Wake up, sleeping souls! Let's go back to Krishna! Hari Bol! Alright, thank you very much for listening patiently. Hare Krishna! We will now open up for questions, comments, realizations, corrections.
So, how do you see Prabhupada? So, you know, today in Christian and Baptist and all the churches, there's going to be many spiritual events. And maybe if you tell us how Prabhupada saw these activities, you know, as like devotees were going to church, you know, maybe.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada said, we are non-sectarian. We honor all bona fide religious paths. And in the early days, when Srila Prabhupada's disciples had joined the movement, and they were in the temples, and the parents of the disciples were a little upset that disciples are here, they're supposed to be with the family. So Srila Prabhupada said, let's have a big Christmas party, invite the parents here, and we'll all celebrate Christmas together. And then you will be amazed. He encouraged all the disciples, and they all sang Christmas carols. Yes, they sang Silent Night, Holy Night. In fact, that's how I got the inspiration to make this Krishna's Christmas carols, because in America, it's a big holiday, and all our kids, devotee kids, would have a holiday, and they didn't know what to do, and several guests would come, because they had a holiday, and they would come to the temple, and so we said we honor the birth of Jesus. We talked about Jesus Christ because Srila Prabhupada always said he's our guru, and we celebrated Christmas by bringing the real spirit of Christmas to everybody. We all, you know, our Christmas tree was the Tulsi tree. So we circumambulated Tulsi, we gave gifts, received gifts, we talked about the life of Jesus Christ, and we all sang Krishnaized Christmas carols together. Srila Prabhupada himself encouraged the disciples to sing because that's a family thing. You know, family coming together, they sing for Christmas. So he encouraged them to sing, and we took this opportunity to encourage the children to sing, and they would sing so many songs and they would become very happy. What is the spirit of Christmas? Jesus has come to teach us this is not your home. Your home is with the Father. He didn't reveal because he said that there are many things I have to tell you, but your ears cannot bear to hear it. Because the people were very simple. They could not understand higher Vedic knowledge. So Jesus gave them what they could understand. So Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to reach out and to make this. See, in Krishna consciousness, we have to use our intelligence to reach people's hearts, whatever way we can. So if it's Christmas, very good. We celebrate Christmas in our Krishnaized way and encourage people to come. We honor Jesus Christ and we make it an occasion for celebration. So we don't bar anyone from coming to our temples, nor do we say ours is the only way. We encourage everybody and we tell them, you know, Father God is here, Krishna. Worship Krishna, love Krishna. And Jesus said the same thing, love the Lord thy God with all thy might, with all thy strength, with all thy heart. So that's what we are doing. We are loving Krishna, we are offering beautiful garlands, flowers, flower arrangements, jewelry, we are offering nice food. What do you do when you love someone? You bring nice things to them, right? You glorify them, you praise them, and you do things that please them. So Lord Chaitanya is very pleased when we sing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like this. So we glorify Krishna because we know He is Father God. Many of the Christians are not aware. They know there is God. But who He is? What does He like? How does He dress? Who are His associates? Where does He live? Srila Prabhupada said, we have the name, we have the address, we have the paraphernalia, we have the entourage, we know everything. So, like having a pocket dictionary and having a full Oxford dictionary, you know, it's just more knowledge, that's all. But there is no difference. Jesus has come to teach us about Krishna, to purify us. Is that okay? Thank you. Yes, Urugai Prabhu, my humble obeisances to you.
Thank you, Mataji, for the lecture. I was singing. I needed 10 attempts, and now I joined in at the last one. So.
Sorry?
I didn't sing before, but now the spirit of singing got to me, and I sang.
You sang,
yeah,
very good.
At the last singing, last song.
Nice, very nice.
My question is: the lecture was, as I understand, mostly about going back home and take it seriously. By chanting Hare Krishna, and Uroš was asking a question about this Christian tradition, and I thought in this connection Christians we should try to make this world livable While we are here, we should try to bring a little bit of spiritual world down here so that we can survive the material world and go back. Ne?
Absolutely.
Because Christians, I was thinking, they have much more social, cultural support. They're much more embedded in this culture than mm-hmm. we, and it's easier for them to practice their mm-hmm. spiritual
yes.
path. And my question is, what is the future? Are the villages the only possibility? I mean, self-sustained communities for people who are grihasas what do you think is the future so that people can practice it more easily? Because today I was thinking we are asking why people are not coming. But then people see I have to go to work and then it's sadhana. I have double burden, you know. Mm-hmm. Chanting Krishna can be perceived as a burden before job. So who will do this, you know?
Yes.
What is the solution? What do you think about the
Krishna? Well, just to survive, we were going to have to take the words of Srila Prabhupada seriously and seriously consider, not just consider, but start formulating how to make a farm community happen. It doesn't mean we close down the city temples. The city temples are meant for preaching. And we need to have the city temples in order to reach people. But at the same time, every city temple should have a sister farm temple. This was Srila Prabhupada's vision. The farm temple, there will be cows, there will be milk, there will be milk products, and we can sell that in the city by having our Govinda's restaurant. The farm temple would supply the vegetables, the grains, the milk products and everything, and the prasadam would come to the city restaurants, and then devotees would be selling the prasadam and also telling people about Krishna, and those who got interested would be taken to the farm to show how to live. This is Srila Prabhupada's vision. So it's not that we just, you know, are we going to just shut down everything? No. We are going to carry on as long as possible. Because one fine day, the cities are going to collapse. And Srila Prabhupada said, at that time, the deities will come in the dreams of the pujaris who are worshipping them and say, time to pack up and go to the farm. But there must be a farm, right? So we need to start very seriously formulating plans about how we are going to survive in the coming years, how we are going to grow our own food, and how we are going to live. Because very soon, this job will no longer be there. The city is going to not be... In fact, this whole system, which is based simply on ravaging Mother Earth, is not sustainable. It's going to collapse. I mean, just look at what we are doing to Mother Earth. By 2030 or 50, I don't remember, there's going to be more plastic in the ocean than fish. We are polluting everything in sight. In fact, our food has microparticles of plastic in it. Petroleum products are everywhere and people are just mining and mining and drilling and drilling and oil. Why? To manufacture plastic products. Money. It's all about money. But what happens to Mother Earth? Look at what we experienced. When that lockdown happened, the Yamuna started becoming clear because there are so many toxins and effluents being pumped into her waters by the industries all along the shores of the Yamuna. So this is just one example. Air, water, food, everything is getting polluted more and more. We can't go on like this. So these jobs and things like that, which are Ugra Karma jobs, we are not going to be able to continue like that. We have to start thinking, even those of us who have jobs, to move to the mode of goodness. Find jobs which are more in keeping with the mode of goodness. And grihasthas, especially with small children, How we can raise our kids in the cities is, I mean, cities are becoming unlivable. It's practically dangerous to let your kid out of your home these days. When we were kids, we would just run out and play. There was green grass. We would jump and run and skip and play and do everything. Today's child has to have a play date. I take an appointment for my child to meet another person's child and have a play date. This is what we have come to. You know, children don't have a childhood anymore. It's everything is on a schedule. You know, and parents are so stressed and so tense all the time. And children's mental health problems are increasing more and more as a result of the stressful parenting. Have you heard of helicopter parenting? Have you heard of helicopter parenting? Oh, very good then. You don't need to hear it. You're not parents, so don't worry about it. But so many mental health problems are increasing because of this hellish city life. It's not sustainable. So we are going to have to move to farm communities to survive, just for survival. We're not going to be able to continue like this very long. So we shouldn't wait for the collapse to happen and then scramble. The wise man prepares. When he sees rain clouds, he knows it's going to rain, right? So similarly, Srila Prabhupada's predictions are all coming true. Said because of this cow killing, there's going to be wars and pestilence. And look at this COVID thing. So, when he said, one day the cities will collapse, believe me, it's going to happen. It's only a question of when. Because we cannot grow our own food. Srila Prabhupada said this on a morning walk. He lifted his walking stick and he pointed it at the skyline and he said, one day, all these cities will collapse. Do you know why? And his disciples were there. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. And he said, because Prabhupada, they cannot grow their own food. And Prabhupada said, yes. This is why we need our farm community. We need food to live. We can't eat nuts and bolts produced by the industry. We need food. And how will food come if there is no rain? And how will rain come unless we are performing yajna? Rain comes due to the sacrifices. And in this day and age, the sacrifice is the holy name. So where devotees are chanting the holy names, following the instructions, there will be bounty, there will be prosperity, there will be plenty, there will be food, there will be shelter. And people will be coming in droves seeking shelter at our farm communities. And that time, we can engage them according to their propensities in Varnashram, and they get a chance to become Krishna conscious. Now you'll say, what will I do on a farm? I'm not a farmer. But on a farm, there's so many things you can do. It's not that everyone has to be a farmer. You need a teacher, you need a computer technician, because you're going to have internet. It doesn't mean you're going to be cut off from everything. Huh? You're going to need a carpenter, plumber, electrician, as long as the grid works. But when it doesn't, we don't know. Solar panelists, you know, cowherd boys, cowherd girls, you know, people to cook food. You need all kinds of people on a farm community. You need an accountant. You need people to manage accounts. You need people to manage every aspect of a community. In fact, it'll bring people closer together. Being in such a community, rather than the city life we have today, where you don't even know your neighbor. You know, a death can happen in the home and we won't even know about it. This is our city life. Is this life where you're so disconnected, you're so alone, you have no one to turn to when you're ill, when you're diseased, when you're despairing, you have no one? Is this life? No, we need relationships. We need people who care about us. So, we definitely need farm communities. This is the future. And we must all start thinking of how to make it happen. Is that okay? Yes, Urosh Prabhu.
I would just like to append to this. Can you just refer some of the farms that we could look up to? Let's say, for example, Hungarian farm is something.
Yes, there are many Hare Krishna farm communities. There's New Vrindavan farm community. Then Bhakti Charu Maharaj recently started one in Dalil, I think, in Florida. Then there's New Taliban farm community, which is in Mississippi. These farm communities are not doing so great. They're not really doing exactly what Prabhupada wanted. They're still struggling to make things happen. But they're very successful farm communities and eco-villages happening elsewhere. Srila Bhakti Raghav Maharaj has started something in Philippines or one of the Southeast Asian countries which is flourishing, Govardhan Eco Village in Maharashtra, which is under Radhanath Maharaj, is doing extremely well and has won international awards, the first prize for sustainable living. International award.
Govardhan?
Govardhan Eco Village. And they are doing great service there. So like that, you know, people who are taking it seriously are already doing fantastically. So, you know, we can go, we can visit, we can see how they're doing. And then they say, the best way to succeed is to follow success. So whatever someone is doing very successfully, we do the same thing, we will be successful.
So you would recommend this Govardhan Eco Village?
Yes.
To follow as examples?
Yes.
Okay.
Govardhan Eco Village. They have a website and they're doing fantastic job. They're regenerating water coming from all the homes. They are purifying it and they're using that again to grow things. So everything is sustainable. They have a yoga center. They have an Ayurvedic clinic. They are making inroads into the local villages. They're supplying villagers with know-how to come up and make their farming practices better. They're teaching them various better ways of cow protection. And so they're now that eco-village is involving local villages and empowering women to come up and do more and more to serve this great mission of Prabhupada. So they have water development, land development, women's development, so many different, you know, it's like an umbrella with many, many projects also. And they are showing how to build sustainably. The bricks that they are making are not concrete. Compressed earth and naturally sun-dried bricks. So it doesn't involve so much labor to make houses. It's all built sustainably. So they have won awards for that. So we can look at their example and we can learn how to do it. Cow dung, cow manure, such a rich source of manure. Fuel, gobar gas. Have you heard of gobar gas? Gobar gas is when cow dung is used to generate methane. There's a process to do that. And then it is piped to various homes as cooking gas. And you can heat water with cow dung fuel. You know, so it's very sustainable because Mother Cow is giving us all these products. And we just use them for all. One cow can supply all the needs for one small family. You can heat water, you can cook your food. All this happens with gobar gas. It's a whole, if you want to research, there's plenty for you to learn about how to live sustainably. We are going to have to learn that. Thank you. Good questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Sandeep. Okay. All right. So it's 9:15. Can we stop now? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.